Hi, I'm Kiki.
And I'm Kemi.
And you're listening to
Your Advisors Will See You Now, a podcast that will help you to figure out all of your options for life after high school.
Everyone, welcome back to another episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. We are recording one of our After the Degree series episodes. That's how we say it. But our After the Degree episodes are just conversations that Kemi and I have. Sometimes we invite friends, but just conversations that we have about life after the degree, primarily after college, but we talk about things after high school too. But it's just topics that we discuss, things that maybe we've experienced in careers and college or things like that. So today is more of a life one. I don't think we do too many life. Well, we have done a couple, but today we're talking about just unexpected things that happen in life. So this may be like more of a heavy hitting one. I don't think it'll be tears, but this is more of like a heavy hitting topic, just about, you know, and Kemi was saying it before we started recording, like when you're younger, you know, your parents can kind of shield you from like big events, you know, like life events, whether it's like losing a loved one or maybe your parents were like, you know, lost their jobs or like house was foreclosed. You know, those are things that they kind of like shield you from. Like you know, like something's going on, but you're not really aware. It's just like help you to move on quickly. But when we get older, these are things that we have to kind of take care of, you know, like cope with. Yeah. Deal with. Thank you. Yeah.
In
ourselves.
First person, I guess you could say.
Whether you've experienced, or I know we both have, you know, you experience like unemployment, or you've experienced, you know, as you're older, losing a loved one, and yeah, you have to deal with it like kind of on your own kind of thing. So that's what we're talking about today. So a little bit more of a heavy hitting one, but it's realistic. So it's reality, I should say. These things happen. So that's why we wanted to just talk about life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, before we started recording, I started thinking back to, I forgot what class I was in. And we were studying like a piece of literary work. And it was basically the underlying theme of it was when you're young, that we tend to have this thought of it's not going to happen to me. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, these bad things do happen, but it wouldn't happen to me. I think the story was this guy who was, it was like in maybe like the Civil War or something like that. And he was very young and he was coming to grips with the fact that I think like one of his friends had passed away and the current situation that he was in. And he was saying like, everybody marches out and you have this thought of like, it doesn't happen to me. But then he was going through this kind of grief when he lost one of his friends. And it just kind of made me think about all these things that we're going to like discuss about today in terms of the unexpected things that happen. Because there's pieces in our times in our life where we're going to experience discomfort, but mostly in grief. And I think of maybe there's some times where you kind of know a grief, for example, like when I left college, I kind of felt like I went through a tiny bit of grieving because it was, I've done this thing of the 4 years going to school, hang out with friends all the time. And it was a transition from leaving something, you know, but I knew this was going to happen. But with other things in adulthood, it's more unexpected. So I feel like it hits heavier. So for example, like one of my friends right now, she had a really bad health scare. And they found that she had cancer in the same spot that her dad had. And her father had passed away from it in high school. So now with that kind of realization of how serious it was, I mean, still, she had surgery. So I'm not going to say her name, but you know who you are if you're listening to this. But she's back home now. But through that whole entire process last year, like, that was terrifying. It was like her dad, you know, went through the same thing. And she was going to have to undergo the same entire surgery and everything for the cancer. And it really took me for a shock because we've been friends since kindergarten. And so you just don't think of these things, you know, as you're going through your day-to-day, you're going to work, you're dealing with the things that are just in front of your face at the time. And those things really hit, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is a part of adulthood. This is a part of growing older. I mean, yes, we've experienced those things too when you're growing up, not as frequently. But even speaking with my in-laws and them, they're much later in the life, like past retirement, and discussing about friends and like how they've passed, you know, due to certain health things and just death in general. And it's something that you have to, unfortunately, come to terms with, of like, oh man, like, the one thing that everyone has in common, unfortunately, is we're all going to die.
Yeah.
And you know, I laugh, guys, because it's uncomfortable. Yeah. You're probably like, why is she laughing? Because it's uncomfortable. Like, but yeah, that's just something that we all have to unfortunately deal with. And it's most of it is unexpected. Or even if it comes from a health, like a health illness, that illness, when it first comes to your attention, it's unexpected. Yeah. So you're having to grapple with that.
Or sometimes it's just like literally unexpected. Like, no, like, you know, people pass away and you're like, they were fine. You know, they were fine. Like, I just, from my old job, somebody, and she had just like retired last year, I think it was, but she passed away. And it was just like, what? Like, you know, and it's like, you think when you like, oh, I just saw them and they looked fine. You know, they looked healthy. And then you hear that. So it can be unexpected health scares, but it can just be also unexpected. Just, I would have never thought, because I saw them 2 weeks ago, they looked fine. But it is, like you said, we all have one thing in common. We're all going to die one day. Prayerfully, everybody spending eternity with Jesus. That's our prayer. Throw that in there.
Yes.
But yeah, it is.
But yeah, it.
Go ahead.
It kind of, we should have like worked our way.
I know, we just went
death for last. We have other things.
Look, get it out. We'll get it out the way now. Like I said, and well, I'm gonna say too. You said you like laughing. It's uncomfortable. So maybe we get this out of the way first, and then we get to the other unexpected life things. We're jumping in. We're just diving in, guys. Okay.
Yeah, we're diving in. Promise that we'll get a little bit lighter, but when in terms of those things too. Though there's like a sadness in it, it also kind of makes you think to like your life and the moments and the minutes that you have right now and what you can do to make it worth it, to what being purposeful in it, what life looks like to you and how you're going to take advantage of it. Because we can live day to day sometimes and time just swipes, goes by. And there's definitely many times where when I used to have like a long commute to work where I was like, I'm just living to get through the Monday to Friday to enjoy my weekend. But having that mindset made the months go by so much faster, and I feel like it robbed me of time. And if I could go back in time, I'm in a much better workable space now to make more meaningfulness of my time working remotely. So that's definitely a big change for me. But having that mindset back in the day made it go by fast and not in a good way, because I felt like I really wasn't enjoying the Monday through Friday all the time, because it was like 10 hours out of my week, I wasn't having time to do things that I found fulfilling, like working out, like taking things for my health. You know, that stuff is important. You know, with the taking time for relationships with people around me. My commute was so long that I wouldn't really want to hang out after work or have dinner with someone, because, you know, it's like I have to get up, rinse, repeat, like every day, like getting my, it's like timing was of the essence. So, but when you're faced with unexpected grief with health scares and deaths, it really does force you to sit and see where you are right now in life and where you want to be. And if, you know, is that satisfying you right now? Are you getting some kind of fulfillment from that? I know where I get my fulfillment from in my faith, but for some people that looks different. But it's like, what does that look like for you? You know, it makes you realize what's important.
And you're saying that I feel like a lot of people during the pandemic, that was made more apparent. People were like, oh, you know, because most everybody was home, and you had that time to like, if it's chill, or go work out during the day, because we were all working from home. Not everybody, but like I said, overall, or the majority of people worked from home. So you had that time to do what you wanted to in your day. So I think, you know, going back to, if we call it normalcy, you know, after, I guess, post-pandemic, people thought about those things, the things that make them that fulfilling, whether that's family. And maybe they're like, I'm working less, or, you know, I'm going on vacation more, I'm taking more days off. You know, it's just, I know that was for me. I was like, why do I work so much? And because I didn't take time off, you know, because, you know, you're home for the pandemic. And I was like, I don't need to take time off. I'm home. So then when we're back to work, I prioritize taking days off, taking weeks off sometimes, because I had also accumulated so much time. But I think a lot of people, just like you're saying, found more value in family or friends or self-care, like just taking time for what really mattered. So, you know, even in a very tragic 3 years that we had, there, that was some good out of it. I think people just realize what's meaningful. And I hope, you know, like I said, now we're kind of back to, like, it's not normal, but back to, we're going into work for the most part. Because every company has not gotten on board with fully remote work, but that's okay. But I hope, you know, people still kind of take hold to taking that time to be with your loved ones and, you know, taking time for yourself. Because it's easy to be like, okay, well, I'm back in the office now, and you just go back to that same routine. And I could probably say I'm probably guilty of that too. But like you said, like when you have the time, if you do work from home or you have the time, maybe you go to the office every day, but you don't have to work. You can, you know, make your hours a little bit shorter. You have more time to come home and, you know, decompress or be with your family, things like that. And I think that's what I've realized. I'm like, I don't have to be here all day, and I don't want to be here all day. So if I can leave work, if I can come in early and leave early, I'm like, well, now I have more time to be at home, whether that's just time for myself or time to hang out with my mom and the dog, you know, whatever that is. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. What's another unexpected event that you feel can pop up in adulthood?
Well, I think the most recent thing, and things that we talked about before, and I know we're talking about again, but like, I think for me, and this is a lighter topic, so not heavy, but like just change in like your career. I know for me, I really thought I was going to be an advisor for the rest of my life, or like working with students for the rest of my life. Like, if you ask me, on May 1st, 2018, and I started my last job, if you asked me, like, oh, you think you're going to be gone from this job in 5 years? I'd have been like, no, I'm going to be here for 15 years. I would have never imagined that I would not be working there anymore. So I think just the what was unexpected for me was just, like, the change in passion or, like, the burnout. Like, I had never really experienced burnout before until the last 2 years. So, you know, I would say like career changes can be unexpected. Cause I've never, thankfully, prayerfully not, like, I've never been fired before, but just like, to like change jobs. You're like, oh, your contract ended. And it's like, well, this is it. I didn't have another job lined up, but that was the end of my contract. So it wasn't unexpected. But I've been in a place where I think unemployment is unexpected.
Yeah, I'll share my story on that one if you want.
You can go ahead.
So one of the campuses that I worked on, it was my first time in actually higher education. There were several different campuses of the place that I worked, and the numbers and enrollment were not doing well. And we knew that it was going down, but the president was always like, there's some new things we want to implement. We're going to try to get more people in these seats. We're going to reshape admissions. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, we all go into the all-purpose room. Everybody's in there. The president steps on stage and he says, the campus is shutting down and layoffs are going to happen starting today. And that was definitely the most unexpected thing I've ever experienced, because the office that I was in too was such a good group. We did so much for the students with so many different activities. I really had great coworkers, and the campus that I worked at, they really did a lot for like growth as well. Because I remember working in the education department as like a coordinator. And then my boss at the time, shout out to Kelly, I love her. She's still like a huge role model in my eyes. There was a position that was open for student advising. And that was, I did want to be a student advisor, but I was in that coordinator role for like maybe just a year. But she came to me and she was like, hey, I just want to say I love the work you do here, but I see you doing so much more. And she encouraged me to apply for that job. Like, that's how great of, I love, like, my coworkers over there. And, but that day, it was like, starting today, we have to let people go. So it was just like, boom. And then one person from each department got pulled. And I was the first one from my department because I had, I knew it was going to be me first. I knew it was going to be me because I had students that I worked with for, we were all student advisors, but we also had something else that we had to work on too. So I was student advising and residential students. So I was like, if we're not going to get any more students in, then we're not going to necessarily have to cover residential either. And the other ones that we had were more important because we had an advisor that does all the scheduling for classes. And another one did, we had veteran students. So we needed her for doing all like the payment plans, but not to bore anybody. But anyway, so from, I was so shocked, you know, it was, you wake up in the morning, you go to
normal day.
And it snowed like the, it snowed the day before too. And mind you, we're all like, we didn't even get, we were all like, they didn't as soon as it come in. We're like, they made us all come in here. And because there was a reason they were letting us go like that day. And that one was a bit of grieving.
Yeah, of course.
First, that was like my first, you know, I worked at my mom's early learning center as a program coordinator and stuff like that. But this role was my first role like outside of that, not like not being in a family run business. So I felt for me, that was more quote unquote of an official job for myself in my mind. But I, and I also learned, I was like, if these organizations go south, you're going to get cut. Like, what can I do to magically wave a wand to keep you, you know? So that for me was like, you can be here today, gone tomorrow. And even though it wasn't like malicious, it was just a reality set for me too, to think about things in terms of work, because you have some people that literally run themselves into the ground for work. And if they're going to close, they're going to let you go. So you need to learn to establish some work-life balance for yourself too. I'm not saying stick it to the man, get paid, don't do your work. Don't do that, because that's just silly. But there has to be a means of like work-life balance that you're not, you know, robbing from everything else in your life and from your mental, from your family. You have to have a good balance with work and getting your work done productively, because you also can't pour from, you know, an empty cup. But anyway, that was just very, it was tough. I just didn't see it coming. So it's like, I wake up the next day with no alarm on a Wednesday. And, you know, and I'm a forecaster. I plan things ahead of time. So for this just to be like, so for that to happen, I was like, whoa, I started applying. But I'm
in shock.
Like, I woke up, I'm just drinking my coffee. I'm like,
I'm
in shock. I'm like, dang. And I'm just like, that really just happened? Like, did that really happen? Like, you're lying.
No, I mean, like, that is a shock. Like, my, it was, mine was like, is not comparable to that at all. So yeah, like, unemployment, because like, even mine, like, I knew it was coming. But I still really didn't, like, I don't think I, like, knew what to do. Just because I was, like, I'm not a forecaster. But, like, yours, like, that's actually unexpected. Because you weren't, you were going to work to go to work. And then they call you in. So, like, that's actually unexpected. But I guess there's different, like, types of unemployment. Like, there's different reasons why we were unemployed. Like, yours was, you were laid off. I think my company was more just being, like, nice. And it was only two of us that were being, like, our... They ended our contracts just because it was a contract position kind of thing. But there's different types of unemployment. So, like, yours was, like, you've been laid off. I think my company was being nice to us. They're like, okay, well, you're done here because you've, like, you know, you've run your course kind of thing. But we're going to give you unemployment. But I think just, like, also the period of unemployment is just, like, I don't know what to do. Because I feel like for me, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I guess I still don't, but...
We need to do a whole episode on just unemployment in general, because that's definitely a difficult season that people go through. I know it's difficult.
Yeah, no, for sure. But, I mean, yeah, I've thankfully haven't been laid off before. But I know you went through that, and I experienced you go through that. I experienced that at my last job, like, seeing people be laid off. And it's just, like, it's just like, a really horrible concept. Well, I mean, like I said, I haven't felt it before, but it's like you feel for the people because, so like, I remember at my last job, they were like, oh, you know, we're going through this, go through a reorganization of the departments, but no one's getting fired. And they said that. I mean, I don't know if somebody recorded it. It was in the minutes, but they said that. And then like 2 months later, no, it was sometime later. Like I remember this because we were like walking out of the building and one of the deans who had been there for 20 plus years, she was like, "It's been nice working with y'all." And we were like, "Huh?" And she was like, "Yeah, like they cut all the deans." And it was like, it just happened to be in February. And so it was already a short month. And so I think it was like February 28th. And she was like, we're done tomorrow. Or like, we're done on the first. And it's like, it's not even like you get 3 more days in the month. It's like, no, the first is tomorrow. I just was like, I just really felt for them, especially like people who had like put in a lot of time at a company. And you just cut them. People, four deans just got let go.
That's pretty wild. Because I'm also like, those people are really, really high.
Up. Have anybody.
And who's going to transition their workload? Everybody underneath them is just going to be miserable because they don't know what the heck they did and they have to tackle what it is. Especially
that's what happened. That's what happened. Like, that's a good point.
When someone leaves, especially in higher ed, it's like, oh, shoot, well, wasn't she also supposed to be on this committee to see if the student could still stay in the college? Wasn't this person also in charge of the probations? Well, what's the student that was on finance? Like, well, she was also arguing with this parent for this big, long thing. Who's taking care of that now?
And I never thought about that because, I mean, I wasn't, it wasn't going to be an advisor or, like, anybody in a student staff. It was going to be a director or some associate director or assistant director below them. You're right. I never thought about that. But it's just the concept. And even I can get on LinkedIn. It's like every 1 out of 10 posts is somebody saying they've been laid off, and especially in the last year. It's just horrible to see. And it's like people, it takes a lot of like courage for people to post like, "I've just been laid off. Like, if you can help me, please." I mean, I think it takes a lot of courage because somebody could just be like, "Oh, I got laid off," and not, you said like you were applying, like, you know, you were applying the next day, but it's still like, you're still trying to wrap your head around things, but it's like you have to apply because that's your livelihood. And it's like, yeah, you may get unemployment or like a severance package, but that's not going to last for a long time. You have to find another job. So it's like the it's the shock of it, but I'm sure also I got to pick my life back up and figure out how to get back on track. And some people maybe take them. You know, some people may be like, well, I'm going to travel. But other people are like, no, I gotta work. It's just a...
Yeah. And the average, too. We're definitely going to have to do another episode, a separate episode of unemployment. But I think it's the average person lands a job in 6 months.
Mm. That's a long time.
Mm-hmm. That was actually me. Yeah. I'm not going to dive into that.
Yeah, we definitely can. Episode.
But that was actually me once I left. Yeah. But, it was literally 6 months late to the date. I was like, oh my goodness. But
yeah.
We'll jump into that another day.
But yeah, so.
Another. Mm-hmm. You go in. You guide the ship. You tell me what's next.
What we got? Well, another thing is just growing up. Like, I feel like I still feel like I'm a kid. But just like watching your parents get older is kind of unexpected. Like I was saying in the. Yeah, I don't. Well, like I don't like it either. I've kind of come to reality, like, she's not diagnosed, but I can definitely see, like, a cognitive, I won't say, but, like, cognitive decline. I'm definitely, like, the head of this household right now. Like, I don't make the, like, my mom, thankfully, she can pay the mortgage still. Her funds pay the mortgage, but, like, I clean, I cook, I get everybody up, I take care of the bills. It's just, like, it was just like a very big shift, something that I'm still like adjusting to, but it's just like, like, thankfully I feel like I've come to terms with it. Like, it's just a part of life, but it sucks. But it's like watching your parents get older is not fun. Cause you just, I don't know. It's like, we are young, but I know my mom had me when she was older too. So I still have an older parent, but it's like, it's something you don't, like we were saying in the beginning, you know, the things that our parents can shield us from, but this is not something that I've been prepared for. So it's just like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You're in charge now.
Yeah. The craziest thing that I've noticed was I remember being younger and looking at my mom, and she would get frustrated with my Nana at a couple of things, and just being like, you need to treat Nana nice. I don't know why you're getting upset at Nana. And now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, holy crap, yo. I see myself getting frustrated with my mom, like how my mom was with my Nana. Like, my mom, just some of the things that she does, I'm like, Mom, let me handle it. Please. Just let me do it. She's sitting here, like, like, we'll be, like, she always has to, like, if we stay, we stay over to visit her, like, she'll, like, take everything out, take all the plates out, all the forks and spoons, the salt and pepper, the like, for breakfast in the morning. I'm like, Mom, we got, like, stop it. Why are you staying up till midnight to just, she just loves, my uncle called it nesting.
That's a pregnancy thing.
Picking things, putting things. Like, she puts things, like, rearranges everything a million times, then she's talking to herself, and then she's, like, literally, then she's, you hear her, like, shifting, like, Mom, please.
Yeah, my mom is like that, too, then. Okay, that's what they do, I guess, then. That's what my mom does, too. But it's like, yeah, always, like, you're right, like, rearranging the same things, and then she blames the dog. I'm like, he don't know how to put shoes in order. Like, he did not do that, but you're right. It's just, like, that is funny. That is funny. I guess I can say that too. Like, be nice to my Nana. And now I'm like, if I had a kid, they'd probably be like, be nice to my Nana. I'm like, just mind your business.
I'm like, I really am. Like, I love my mom. She's driving me nuts.
I live with mine.
But she's
so I think that's, I'm just.
Yeah. My mom is so well intentioned. But it's just, I think too, a piece of it is I think it's me reconciling with myself that I see the oldest in her too. And I think that's what the frustration is. And it's like, I just don't want to see it. I think that's how that's, you know.
That's like, that's a great description of it. It's like, it's like things that are like common. Me, I know I have an issue with this. I'm like very much about common sense. And not to say I have common sense all the time, but when I don't see common sense, it really frustrates me. So things that are like very difficult for her to do, I'm like, it's so simple. I'm like, it's right there. It's like, where? You know, it's just a lot of, it's just, you're right. Seeing the oldest in your parents, it is kind of scary. And I remember somebody, church mom, like, handed somebody a check. And he was like, I just want to let you know that she handed me a check. And I don't know why she gave this to me. But I think, you know, I think there's something going on. And I was like, I know. He's like, you don't have to be embarrassed about it. But he's like, you're going to have to grow up really quickly. And I was just like, no, I don't, but I am. And it's just like a lot. Like, I just, I did not, it's unexpected because I was like, oh, I'm just going to live at home and kind of coast. That's what I really expected, but it's not that. It's like becoming a parent, and this is not what I planned for at this big age, but I just did not plan for this. And I definitely have moments of like, why me, God? But I know there's like a, you know, to bring our faith into, I know there's like a purpose and a reason for this. And I just pray for patience. I just pray for patience because I'm like, it's not there every day. And I know that's really all. Like, you know, you just want your parents to have their dignity and their independence still. And that's really all I try to do. Seeing your parents get older, like you said, the oldness in them and like the kind of decline in certain things. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks for sure, but.
Yeah, that's part of adulthood. I had no idea what you really had to deal with, and none. Another thing, kind of unexpected is it a little unexpected in adulthood? Like, maybe like friendships and relationships. I think some people change. But not in a bad way, but like, I was listening to this YouTuber responding to another video on YouTube.
My favorite.
And the guy was basically saying how he had close friends, but then like a lot of his friends ended up moving away. And I think maybe some of them used to game, but they didn't game as much anymore. So their interests had shifted. And then also some of them had kids. So it was just naturally like, there wasn't much left to bond with. And I guess naturally this just wasn't enough time sometimes to invest in that because they're also not there. So it became more lackluster, but not in a negative way. But they still had like good friendships. I guess one of them would just like kind of faded off. But it really hit him when he ended up splitting with his wife. And then for him, it was like, whoa, like who am I going to talk to? Like, you know, like now it's like, oof, that's a rough one. And that's actually something too, is some people experience splitting up, you know, whether it be boyfriend, girlfriend or marriages, you know, and that's unexpected for one of the other people sometimes for.
Yeah, exactly. For one side, it may be. And I've seen a friend go through a divorce and it's just rough. Like, it's rough to be on the sidelines because it's like, well, what do you do? Because it's not only like the emotional toll and the toll on the kids, but it's expensive. Mm-hmm. It's like very expensive to separate and divorce. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right. Like relationship changes. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes it's like not bad. Like if it's like a friendship, you know, sometimes I've heard people say that friendships are like breakups. Like they can be very devastating. Absolutely. Sometimes it's just like we grew apart and I feel like that's okay. If, you know, if it was on like good terms and it was like mutual and not to say that you'll never be friends again or you're not friends now. It's just maybe we don't have the same interests or time, but I feel like you make time for what's important, and time can look different for everybody. It's not like, you know, maybe you used to hang out 5 times, you know, 5 days out of the 7 days of, you know, in the week. Maybe you hang out once a week or once a month. Like, it's like, if you can still keep that ongoing, I'm like, okay, that's not a negative. It's just we have different priorities now, but there's sometimes where like friendships are like, they are like breakups because it's like, this was my best friend and we don't talk at all, like at all. That can be very devastating. Or like, you know, your spouse, you know, you divorce a spouse. So there are devastating relationship changes. But I'm not opposed when it's like, okay, we're just grew apart and, you know, maybe we need time from each other as a friend. I feel like those are okay too. Some people just change.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even want to ever want to understand what it's like for divorce, like, because now being on the end of being married and living with someone every single day, and that person is that's my bestie. Right. You know, so that I can only imagine how devastating that is for people waking up and doing life with this person every single day, and then that total peace is just removed. You know, whether it be, you know, heaven forbid death, or whether it was divorce, like that's just traumatic. And even if you have children, that's like a whole another layer of things. Like it's crazy too. And I remember learning this in like personal development psychology when I was young, when I was in college. It was something along the lines of children do better if the parents divorce younger versus if they divorce older. And I was like, I don't understand it, but it's crazy. Because my parents divorced when I was 6. And so my reality was adults just do that. If it happens, it happens. Even though I'm not for divorce, I'm like, there's some reasons that people need to, but I'm like, hopefully if you can keep it together, then, you know, that'd be amazing, you know? But when I was younger, that was the reality of that's what happens. Mm-hmm. That was my norm. It was rough as a kid, but that was the norm. And then from there on, it would be different holidays. You know, I would just go to, my dad would come over for Christmas morning, or I would go to his family at the end for Thanksgiving, my family for the beginning, da 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 da. Yeah. Like, that's just the norm. Versus I had a friend who, her parents, they divorced. I think we were in college, and she was taking it rough. And it almost surprised me, because I was like, in my mind, again, at 6, my reality was that's what happens. So it really was hard for me to, like, really see how like difficult it was for her, like really seeing that. I was like, oh my gosh, like, wow. Like, because you gotta think about all those years they spent together with holidays,
of course,
in the same home, building the same traditions together, and now that's gone, and now you're here in college and you're having to resume and figure out, what do I do with that? How is my place in that? Now I have two parents. It's, and you know, the human side always wants you to pick a side, which you shouldn't, you know.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, I can imagine, like, things are easier when you're younger. And that's another thing, like, when you're younger, you just don't know. You just don't know. And this is, like, a different topic, I'm sure. But, like, I can relate to that. Like, I just didn't grow up with my father. He passed away when I was little. But just me and my mom has always been the norm for me. Like, I will never forget. It was like a Father's Day. Maybe we were like 11 or 12, but one of my like closest friends, I don't remember like what was discussed, but she was like bawling, crying. I remember looking at her, and she didn't grow up with her father, but he wasn't present, but like he's still, you know, living. And so I think she just wanted to have a relationship with him. And I remember her just like crying. And I remember looking at her, I was like, what is she crying about? But like for me, like now I'm older and I understand, like, yeah, of course I wish I would have had my father to grow up with. And but at the time I was like, that's all I knew was not having a father. And so I think he passed when I was little, very little, less than two, probably. I might have been one. I just never knew. And I never had, like, you know, I just never had that. So I was looking at her like, why is she crying about this? But now I can look back and be like, I understand now. Because I think it's things that I'm coming to terms with, like, that I have some problems because I didn't have a father, I'm sure. But not blaming it on that, but things that I just never cope with. But yeah, it's just, as you get older, you start to see more things. You understand, like, why we are the way that we are. So, yeah, I could imagine, like, if I would have lost my father when I was, like, yeah, in high school or college, then that would have been devastating. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how I would handle that. But just because it was, that's an unexpected thing, you know. But I don't know how I would have handled that. Mm-hmm. So maybe that was God blocking me from something crazy, or, like, a life-altering event, mm-hmm. you know, as when I was in a younger age. But you're right, you know, you can see your friends go through like things like that, divorce. Like for you, I'm sure you were older too, so you're more sympathetic. But imagine if you were like maybe in high school.
Yeah.
And you're just like, this is normal. But yeah, I don't know where I'm going with that, but unexpected, I mean, like stuff like that. It really does suck. But it really did, like, it just brings things into perspective as well. Like, we all go through different things at different times. And I suppose it's because, you know, it's to help each other. So I'm sure you could be there for your friend, you know, because you're like, oh, well, this is what it's been like for me for the last 12 years. And so it's like, because you went through that, not in the same way, but you went through that, you can be there to support her. You know, we go through different things in different seasons of life so that we can hopefully help somebody else go through it as well, like learn from, you know, mistakes that we made or things, just to help them cope through things as well.
To speak life and have a hope in the season that they're in, because it's tough, you know. And I think all these different things too, especially like a couple of these things, like some people experience, some people don't, but it makes you see that as humans, even though we have like our gripes, you can turn on the TV and everybody's against everybody, but when it really boils down to being a human, we have a lot of things in common, a lot of same life events that are happening to us. And this world is crazy as heck, but sometimes you gotta give people grace.
Yeah, of course.
Like, not even sometimes. Give people grace, because you don't know what's going on. Like, someone could have passed. Like, you know, show a little love in this world, because our time ain't gonna last here anyway.
And I know I'm guilty. Like, you know, people on the road, I know I'm guilty. I call people stupid and idiots, like, at least 15 times a day, because that's how they drive. But you're right, though. It's like, you really never know, like, why someone's driving crazy. Like, they could be rushing to get somewhere. Thank you for that thank you for that reminder. I'm gonna try to remember that, because it's just like, you know, you're on the road, you're driving, people just piss you off in that moment. But, you know, my, like, it really should be like, Lord, I pray they get there. Like, I try to say, like, after I call them a name, I'll be like, Lord, try to get them, I pray they get there safely. You know, like, that's what it should be like. Just pray they get to where they're going safely, because you don't know why they're behind the wheel driving like erratically. Like, they really could be trying to get to somebody that is not going to make it, you know, or their kid is having a problem in school and they're like freaking out. So sometimes people just drive crazy just because I believe that there are times that people just maybe are not in their right mind. So you're right. We really should give people more grace. And just be, it's just like, I know it's like easier said than done, but why can't we be nice? And this is the time of the year, you know, it's Christmas time, it's the holidays, it's Christmas, it's Hanukkah, other holidays, Kwanzaa, whatever other holidays are going on too, but it's like the last month of the year, people are going to be nice to each other. And then it's like January 1st, you know, January may be nice to, and then mid-January, it's like, okay, we're back to, yeah, it's like,
back at it again.
Back to being mean and stuff like that. But I know, like, this is just how the world is, and it's just going to keep spiraling. But there are enough of us in this world that can affect some change. We can be peacemakers, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, we're all going through a lot. We need to help each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Get through it together.
Exactly. So
yeah.
I told you, it's like this is not one of our most fun episodes, but
it's not. I guess something that we could do that would be maybe productive is maybe what are some ways to get through grief. I'm going to Google this because I don't know. I'm putting the question on you and I don't know the answer myself. I mean, I remember taking, it sounds so terrible. I remember taking death and dying class in high school. And it was actually a really informative class because it really made you figure out how expensive your funeral was. I was like, at that point, toss me in the sea because it's just too expensive. But anyway, we learned about the stages of grief. And I was so pissed because I was like, are you for real? I'm dead. Mm-hmm. This is the cost? I was like, who's paying it?
That's why you get life insurance.
Who's paying it? But, you know, that's why you get life
insurance. The good kind.
So someone in your family doesn't pay for it. You know what I mean? But I was so irritated. Like, I remember the frustration from that side note of learning how expensive it was. I was like, how you mean to tell me it costs X amount of money for a casket? I'm dead. What's the point?
I know.
Dead. I'm not flaunting it like a
but
car.
I think it's like,
dead.
I guess how much it costs to make them, or because they are kind of nice looking despite what they're for. But you're right. It is crazy. And it's like, we always see those Colonial Penn commercials about life insurance. And it's like, oh, whatever. But nah, we all need it. It don't matter what age you are. We all need it. We all need to get life insurance. Mm-hmm. And something I learned too, and maybe they're trying to scam me. I don't pay that much for mine. But somebody told me, what you get from your job is like never enough. Like, you should pay for, like, you know, pay a little bit more for life insurance because you just never know. And it's not just, you know, dying. You could get in a car accident. You could lose your job. You know, it's just whatever unexpected life circumstances. And they always say the one you get at your job is not enough. So, you know, get a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or get another one.
But, I mean, I think things that helped me. So, but I was telling you at the beginning, I'll be quick with this, but I experienced the loss of a friend in high school when I was like 15. She was a teammate from on my tennis team, but we were also like friends, just like outside of tennis as well. But having like our tennis team, that was like, I think just having community, you know, sometimes it's easy to want to be alone and just like kind of close up. But if you have people around you that also experience it, because like, it wasn't just the tennis team. Like, she had other friends that, and it was just like, she passed in a very tragic way. And that was my really first time, you know, when you're younger, you hear people like, oh, so-and-so passed, or like, we're at so-and-so's funeral. But it didn't really like click until that. And I think I was 15. Yeah. But, and I'm sure there's stuff in the article that will say like how like ways to cope, but it really was just being with my friends who also like knew her, and we could like talk about her and be like, these are, you know, happy memories that we had, but we also could cry together. And we also just like did things like we made like pins with her on it, or like we made like armbands. So it was just like ways that we could remember her. I think that helped a lot, you know. And then her family did like a lot of stuff, like even years after she passed. Like, there's a memorial at one of the YMCAs here that I can go. Like, I haven't been there in probably, and plus she, like, it's happened 15 years ago, but I haven't been there in probably 8+ years. But it's just somewhere you can go to be like, oh, we can come here and remember her. Because like every now and then, and it's like, it's easy to be like, time has passed. Like, I'm sure her family, you know, they remember her every day, but there will be like certain times that I'm like, she'll pop into my head and I'm like, oh wow, like that happened 15 years ago. But it was just like, it was just like a period of like, this friend passed, my uncle passed, like my great uncle passed like not too long after her. Experienced another classmate before we all went to college, he passed away too. So it was just like, wow. So I think at a younger age, not, I'm sure there's people that experience this way younger, but like for me, I just never expected that. But I think just having like people around you that can also, that have, you know, that are experiencing that with you, like the same thing, whether it's your family, because I can even think of like funerals of like of my great uncle, you know, we just, you know, like the funeral was sad, but the nights, like, you know, around the funeral, it's like, we're just having a good time. That's what they would have wanted, you know? Mm-hmm. That was my Uncle Snooky. That was a nickname, Uncle Snooky. But you're just like, we're here playing like Pacino, you know, or like singing. We're in the hotel having a good time. Yeah, I know. It's a throwback.
Is that what they, what's Pacino? Is that what they play in LA?
I don't, it's like a
Snooky.
It's like some game you play with like coins. I don't remember. I don't know how to play spades though, but I know how to play Pacino. But it was just like we had fun, you know, like laughing and just, yeah, having like a good time kind of thing. So that's really how you can, that's in my experience, the ways that I've coped. And like,
yeah,
I guess like my Nana passed during COVID. So we didn't, I feel like if we were all together, she loved to dance and like loved music. I feel like if we were all together, it would have been like a celebration, like, you know, would have been laughing and singing and stuff, because it's like what would the person want, you know? They wouldn't want you to be like sad all the time, you know?
Yeah, I think something that helped me with the first time I experienced like a loss, it was my grandmother, and I was in middle school. My nana was my best friend. Like, it still tears me up to this day, her and my grandpa, when I think about them or they come to mind. But something that helped me during that time was writing it out. I had a journal, and just like writing it out, that really helped me a lot. And then, yeah, sometimes, you know, just some good old fashioned crying.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, and I just pray. I do a lot of praying. And I'm like, Lord, like straight up, I'm like, I have these emotions right now that are so uncomfortable that I don't even know what to do with it right now. Like, I need you to help me with this, because I can't. And then sometimes, like, the Lord will literally, I think it goes back to like you're saying, like, community, like, will bring some people over, or someone's reaching out to me, like, simultaneously for something. Or that's, like, if I'm going through, like, any kind of grief in a kind of season or job loss, whatever, God will, like, maybe send someone, or, like, a word of encouragement out of the blue from someone, you know? And I feel like those are things that he does, like, to help me through that. But definitely writing it out, praying it out. And I always try to laugh. Like, somehow, like, laughter for me is always one of the best pieces of medicine. This. So, like, even thinking about my grandmother, if we think back to some of the things that she would do, and it still makes me laugh to this day. Like, Nana, why are you stealing sugar from the restaurant and salt and pepper packets? We have food at home.
Like, that's all people think. Okay. I'm like, yeah, you don't need that. Equal. We got better things at home.
Why? Yes. Exactly. Why are we taking the Equal and the Splenda? You don't even drink coffee.
No. That's what it is. Like, if when you can, but that's like you're saying, like, we can remember like funny times. It's still like, it doesn't, you know, replace anything, but it's just like remembering those lighthearted times. We keep those like memories so that we can laugh. We can laugh. It's like maybe in the middle of your crying, you're like, oh man, remember when we were at IHOP and Nana took the Splenda and the thing it came in, you know? It's just like, we can laugh about that.
Oh gosh. Yeah. And then I think maybe something that could be helpful to people too, like before whenever your loved ones go, or it's always just good in general to keep like maybe like a family album or something that contains memories. Something that was like a 2-3 years before my grandpa passed. I just decided to take a tape recorder over to his house and just ask him about like a lot of his memories, because he was in the Navy and maybe in World War II. And I was just asking him all like this insight, because he mentioned it before. Not one of the funny, it wasn't funny, but it was like, I was like, yeah, did you join? He's like, yeah, I joined. Right. He's like, I got drafted. Like, what? Right. I was like, oh yeah, that was the draft back then. Or even we had another random story was, we had a really, really close friend of the family, and I was really close with the grandmother. Miss Clayton, and I actually interviewed her for a project for school. And it was kind of low-key funny because I interviewed how she lived in the South and then she moved up north. And I was like, did they ever, like, call you any names? She was like, yeah, they called me this. And what they call us now? I was just like, oh, my God.
For them, it's probably like, let it be some Gen Z. Let it be some Gen Z.
Right.
Like, that was, unfortunately, like, their norm. You know?
That's funny.
Yeah, no, that's true, though.
But it's always good to, you know, keep those memories alive somehow, too. And then you can pass them down to the family so they can see what that person was like, too. Because my mom has so many memories of, you know, her side of the family that lives in California. And I have, and she always assumes that I know. But I was like, Mom, I was a kid. I have no idea of these stories until you tell me. And I'm like, you guys did what? This was what? Or I, like, because my mom has three brothers that live in California. They lived in Canada. And then, like, I just recently found out that a lot of them own their own businesses and a lot of them sing. And I was like, I wish I would have known that because that's, I have those qualities. And it's weird to, and it's, I'm like, wow, it's a family thing, you know? That would have further confirmed some things for me. I'd be like, maybe I'm just tripping.
That's crazy, like, though. You know? That's, family, find out family things is crazy. But no, you're right, though. My aunt, like, She is the family historian at this point. She just knows everything. She'd be like, yeah, so-and-so is this and then so-and-so and da-da-da-da-da. It's like so many things. And don't let her get to drinking. Don't let her get to drinking. Because then she's going to tell everybody's business. But sometimes it is cool, like things that I never, you know, never knew. But I do, so you were saying like keeping things, it is important. I know now this is like outdated, but my nana used to always like write me letters from when I was very little, and I still have her letters. Like, I'll that's something I will always like keep, like letters and like birthday cards. And she'd be like, make sure you're being nice to your mom, because I was a very slick mouth child, and I still am a slick mouth adult. But you know, she always like just be like, be, you know, make sure you're being kind to your mom, things like that. You know, but those are things I will always keep. Just because, like, those are great memories. And that was just something that I always liked or appreciated my nana did, was just, like, write me all the time. Because, yeah, that's not, people don't do that anymore. Let's bring writing letters back, people. Get back.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Okay. We're going to all find pen pals.
Well, I know, right? Maybe I should wrap this up with a tiny prayer, because maybe someone found this podcast who's grieving right now or going through some like a tough season right now of something unexpected. Lord, we thank you for this time, for, you know, us to just talk about what life is like in the season right now. Anyone needs encouragement, anyone who needs to be fulfilled by you, anyone who's going through just such agonizing grief that they don't know what to do, I pray that you just come in with provision. I pray that you come in with your spirit, and I pray that you provide in ways that they couldn't even see in front of themselves once more, God. And I pray that you give them strength and that you give them comfort and that they're able to see that there is light, that this is just a season. Lord, help them during the time of patience and seasons, Lord, but we know that you have something better on the end and that you orchestrate things for your good somehow, even though we don't understand sometimes. We just pray for them to feel your love, and we pray for them to see your hope in your name.
Amen.
Jesus. Amen.
Good prayer, Kemi. Thank you.
Thanks. And thank you all for listening. We hope you guys have a great day. Please make sure to, if you have any questions about or anything else you want us to discuss on After the Degree on our podcast, make sure to send us an email at yawesomepodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on our Instagrams, yawesomepodcast, on the Instagram, the TikTok, and our Facebook. And we will see you in the next one. Bye.
The devil did not want you to pray because you froze for a second. I was like, ooh, but it came back.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to the latest episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media pages and check out our website. Take a look at the show notes below.
And please make sure to subscribe and share this podcast. Also, show us some love and please leave a 5-star review. Catch you next time.
See ya.